Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. This message is a follow-up to the message we started last week, or we spoke last week, regarding the basics of salvation. And we talked about a couple of basic tenets from the scripture. Romans 3:23 was a key scripture there, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so salvation starts with a knowledge of our own sin. Salvation starts with a knowledge of our separation from God. And when you come to that realization, beloved, when you acknowledge that you're separated from God, that you don't have the peace that comes with understanding the salvation of God, you don't have the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in you, then you know that there's something missing in your life. You know that there is something that is out there that you don't have, that you need for your life. And beloved, that is the knowledge of God, that is the knowledge of salvation, that is a place that you come to. And you can come there today, you can come there this day, and it is God's will that you come to that place, the Valley of Decision, and that you lay aside your pride, you lay aside all of your preconceived ideas about God, and you just say, God, reveal yourself to me. Jesus, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you, I want to serve you, I want to love you and worship you. And when you come to that place, beloved, you will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are saved, and that you can then reside with God and with Jesus for all eternity. Well, in 1 John 5, we're going to start in verse 10. The Apostle John says that you can know that you're saved. That comes up in verse 13, but we're going to start in verse 10. John is talking about the witness of the Holy Spirit, the witness of God in our own life. And it says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And the Holy Spirit is sent here to the earth. That is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit of God is sent here to the earth to convict us, or to convince us of our sin. And so the Holy Spirit gives testimony of God. The Holy Spirit speaks of God to us. We get in situations in life, we get in circumstances in life where we are very broken, or we just realize that we're prideful and that we're arrogant and that we really don't know what we're doing. And oftentimes when people face their death, they come to this place where they are in a place of brokenness, they are in the valley of decision, they are in the valley, a low place in their life. And the Holy Spirit starts to speak to them about God. He gives witness and testimony to each individual person here on this earth. And everybody comes to that place at some point in their life, even people that are of other religions, people that are atheists, people that are trapped in sin. They may be in drug cartels or sex trafficking, or trapped in pornography or alcohol or drug abuse, but the Holy Spirit will speak to them, and even through other people, God will send other people to speak to those that are trapped in sin or trapped in pagan religion. God will witness and testify to them of himself through the Holy Spirit, and also through creation. Creation speaks of the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so God speaks to us in many ways what his plan for us is, and that he is a God that cares about us. He is a God that loves us. He is a God that wants us to serve him, to come to know him. And so John is saying that when you believe in the Son of God, when you believe in Jesus, then you have that witness, the Holy Spirit, within yourself. But when you don't believe that, then you're telling the Holy Spirit God is a liar. You're telling the Holy Spirit that he is a liar, because you have not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And then John goes on to say in verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Beloved, if you deny Jesus Christ, If you deny that he was born of a Virgin Mary, if you deny that he went to the cross and shed his precious blood for you, if you deny that he was resurrected after 3 days in the tomb and that he lives at the right hand of God and is seated at the right hand of God, but that Jesus Christ was sent here by God to reveal God to us, and also because Jesus' blood was the perfect sacrifice and the only sacrifice that could be made to bring us back to God or to reconcile us to God. That is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. That is the testimony that God has given us, that through Jesus Christ and His Son comes eternal life. There is no other way. There is no other path to God. And so that is a lie that many people believe, that is in the secular humanistic world today, the humanistic religion, that there are many paths to God. Each person can just choose the path that he wants. He can get to the top of the mountain, and all he has to do is do some good things, do some good works, love his fellow man. That is the humanistic gospel, that is the altruistic gospel, but it will not get you into heaven. It will not get you eternal life. It will not get you saved. God says that through his Son comes salvation. Jesus spoke this of himself in 14 verse 6. He spoke this of himself. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And so people that say that there are many ways to God and that we all serve the same God, even though we have different names for him. Maybe the Muslims call him Allah and the Hindus have their name for God and we have our name for God. They are not the same gods. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And so Jesus made an exclusive claim for himself. He said there is only one way to the Father. There is only one way to God. That God is my Father, and I am the way to him. I am the way and the truth and the life. Well, I'm not going to go into that scripture. I could preach a sermon on it by itself. But in 1 John 5, back to verse 12, John says, "He who has the Son has life," or eternal life. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, or does not have eternal life. And so it's very simple. You're either in a place where you know you have eternal life with God, the Father of Jesus Christ, or you're in a place where you don't know. And if you're in that place, you're likely then going to be going in the other direction. You're likely be going to hell, the place that God created for the devil and his fallen angels. And so it is not God's will that you be there. It is not God's will that you walk with the devil even while you're here on this earth. And so that is why the Holy Spirit then has been sent here to the earth. Jesus said when he left the disciples, he said, "I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I'm not leaving you by yourself. The Holy Spirit will be here to counsel you. The Holy Spirit will be here to advocate for you. The Holy Spirit will be here to teach you the truth and to tell you the truth in all things." And the Holy Spirit speaks to us, beloved, not only after we are saved. We have the Holy Spirit as our companion, our residual companion, residing with us. But the Holy Spirit also speaks to those who aren't saved, and he speaks to them to convince them and to convict them of their sin and to let them know there is righteousness in Jesus Christ, that the devil has been judged. Even though he is still the ruler of this world, he has been judged. His sentence has just not been carried out, but he has been judged. And also the Holy Spirit then is sent to convince people of their need for a Savior and of the need for righteousness through the Savior in their own life. Well, John clinches this passage of Scripture in verse 13 when he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." So he's writing to Christians here. I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, so, beloved, people say, well, how can you know if you are saved or not? It's not possible to know if you are saved or not. Well, beloved, if you believe the Bible, which I do, and you believe that this book is God's word given to us so that we can know God, if you believe that, then you have to know that there is a plan of salvation, that God has made his plan very clear. God has made his plan clear enough so that even young people and children can understand it. And John speaks the plan right here. He says, you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so it's very simple. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, those of us who believe in the name of the Son of God, we have salvation. You have that assurance that you have salvation if you continue to believe in that name, and you have assurance that God knows you, he loves you, he has a plan for you, not only after you die, but right here on this earth. You can know that you're saved, you can know beyond any doubt, and you can then do the works that God has planned for you. You are saved for good works, and you can then know that God has a plan for you to do those works as a saved believer in Jesus Christ. Well, the scripture that most people associate with salvation, John 3 and in verse 16, and you all can know this scripture, you can memorize this scripture very easily. In verse 15, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that is the salvation message in a nutshell right there. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ should not perish, but have eternal life. But you must believe. You must say, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. For God so loved the world. God created us to love him back. Why were you created, beloved? If you don't know, you were created to love God. You were created to worship him. And you were created to give that love not only back to God, but to your fellow man. And so that is where the works come from. That is why you were created for good works, is so that you could share your love with others. Number one, who don't know Jesus, but others who have needs in their life. They may need food, they may need shelter, they may need clothing, or be in prison and need a visit, or be in the hospital. They may be sick in their body, need somebody to pray for them, or need a visit. And so you were created for those good works, but you were created to love God and to worship him most of all, and that comes with your belief. Again, referring back to John verse 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so Jesus did not come to condemn you. Jesus did not come to rub your sins into your wounds and make you feel worse about yourself. Jesus came to save you. He came to set you free from your sins. He came to deliver you from the problems and the sins that you have. It's not to say that you're not going to have any problems after you confess him or after you're saved. Yes, you will have problems, but you will have the Holy Spirit there to counsel you. You have the Holy Spirit there to be an advocate for you. You'll have Jesus Christ there to comfort you and the Holy Spirit to comfort you. And so it doesn't matter what you've done. I know that there are many people out there listening to me today, and you feel bad about things that you've done. You feel terrible about some things that you've done. You don't even want to speak about those things. You don't want to tell other people what you've done. But beloved, understand this, that through the grace of God, even while we were in our trespasses, through the grace of God, we can come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. All we have to do is confess his name and say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. And not only does Jesus forgive us of our sins, because the blood that he shed for us has the ability to cover our sins, to forgive us of our sins, and to reconcile us to God, but also the Bible says that he not only forgives us, but also he forgets our sins as far as the east is from the West. And so Jesus doesn't keep bringing up our sins and throwing them into our face and saying, aha, aha, you know, I caught you, you sinner. No, Jesus is a loving, loving Savior. He died for us on the cross. He took our sins with Him on the cross, and He nailed them to the cross, and He covered them with His blood. And so the blood that He shed is sufficient for every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that you will ever commit in the future. And His blood is sufficient because the mercy and love of God is behind the blood of Jesus. Verse 18 in John 3, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So John is saying here that if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, that you stand in condemnation. If you have not confessed His name and accepted the free gift of salvation, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, if you have not accepted that and confessed His name, you stand in condemnation in your sin. Your sin condemns you. Your sin condemns you, and it sentences you to a life separated from God. It sentences you to a life in hell, separated and with eternal torment, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and fire of the lake of fire and extreme darkness, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. So you stand in condemnation, and this is the condemnation. The light came into the world to show us God's love. The light is the love of God. The light is Jesus Christ. That light came into the world to show us God's love, but men love the darkness rather than light. Do you know, beloved, when we are in sin, it's always pleasurable for a while. There's always a lot of fun in sin. You know, when I first started to get away from God, when I first started to backslide, I was having a great time with the party life, and I was having a great time with drugs and alcohol. And so there's always a season of pleasure that goes with sin. That is the devil's design, that sin is pleasurable for a while, but there are always consequences then that come up with a life of sin. There's always consequences then that start to condemn us. There's physical consequences. HIV, AIDS, and all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases come with a life of sexual immorality, and also just the soul tearing and the soul despair that comes with sexual immorality. Drug use has tremendous impact on the physical body. Alcohol abuse has tremendous impact on the physical body. And so there are always consequences, and many times they're long lasting. Sometimes they last for a lifetime, those consequences of decisions that we make to run with the devil. And those consequences can be devastating, not only to our physical health and our spirit and our soul, but also they can have consequences for all eternity. And this is the condemnation, that the light came into the world and people chose not to go to the light. They chose to go to the darkness. They loved the darkness rather than the light. They would rather run with the devil and live in darkness and continue in their sin than to be humbled and to say, Jesus, I need you. I'm on the wrong path. I'm not doing what I know I should be doing. I'm walking with the devil. And so when the light comes into the world, when the light comes into your life, maybe some of you are listening to me today, and this is the light that I am preaching to you today, the light, the revelation that maybe you've never heard before, or maybe you have and you've denied it, but Jesus is saying to you today, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And when you come to Jesus, you will have that life, and that light, it will shine in you through the Holy Spirit of God that is then placed in you. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so when you come to the light and you come clean and you let the blood of Jesus wash you clean and cleanse you of all that filthiness, all that darkness, all of that condemnation, then the light that is in you then will shine the light of God to the whole world, and they will see that God is working in you. Well, again, as we spoke last week, it is our confession of faith. God wants us to use our mouth and our tongue and to confess what is taking place in our heart. If you're just silent and you never speak, how is anybody going to know that you believe in Jesus? How is anybody going to know that you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? I defy anyone to go to a Chiefs football game and sit there and not speak one word in favor of the Chiefs or say go Chiefs or whatever. And so it is with God. When you come to know Him and when the light of Jesus Christ comes into your heart and reveals that wickedness and that filthiness in your heart, then it is time for you to make a confession of your faith and say to the world, this is what I believe, this is what I want you and you and you to know about me, that I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Matthew 10, verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me, this is the words of Jesus speaking, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so God wants us to confess. He wants us to tell the world, this is what has happened in my heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. I want that light into my heart. I want to share that light with the world. And so our confession is what testifies to the world what has taken place in our heart. Well, John 11, Martha and Mary, the two sisters of Lazarus who had died, Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the light. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so he brought Martha to a place of confession. He brought Martha to a place where she had to declare, yes or no, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. And so he asks her, do you believe that whoever believes in me shall never die? And what he was talking about there is eternal life. That's what he's talking about, eternal life. Verse 27, and Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world, or even he who comes into the world. And so Martha made her confession of faith. She said, Jesus, I believe you are the one who can give us eternal life. I believe that if I confess you and I believe in your name, that I will never die. I will live eternally with you. And I confess that today to you and to others who are listening here today. Well, beloved, if you have made that confession in your life, you know the peace that comes with walking with Jesus. But if you have never made that confession, I believe there are some out there listening to me today. You've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you do that today, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And if you do say yes, if you believe that he died on the cross for you, that he shed his precious blood for you, and that through him is eternal life, just as Martha said, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you are the resurrection, and I believe you died for me, and I believe that I will never die. I will live eternally with you if I say, Jesus, I believe in you. And beloved, I hope you made that confession today. I'm going to close with this scripture, Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And so, beloved, if you have confessed Jesus, you are no longer under condemnation. You are no longer carrying the burden of that sin. You are no longer carrying the burden of shame and guilt. You are set free by the blood of Jesus. You are set free, and so you can go in freedom today. I would suggest that you tell somebody else about your confession. I would suggest that you email me, purepurry@hotmail. Follow it up with Christian baptism as an act of obedience to let the world know this is where you stand with Jesus Christ. This is your life, and you are walking in the Spirit, and you are no longer under the law of sin and death. Well, beloved, it's been a pleasure to bring this message to you today. I hope that some of you out there have made that confession. Let me know again if you have, and I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Stay tuned for contact information right after this broadcast.